president is of the executive branch is now in control of our military in direct violation of the Constitution. The Constitution is in the process of being destroyed. And if Congress and the executive branch cannot regain control of the military, then the American sovereignty is about to be dissolved under the United Nations. And you know, they don't teach that in school anymore. They don't teach it to soldiers. When you take an oath, that's the last time you hear the word Constitution for a whole 20-year career. So the point here, you know, basically is that our schools are no longer teaching the separation of powers. They don't teach about the Constitution. They teach about United Nations in schools today. Unfortunately, there is no constitutional basis for being there, and it's just the principle of the thing. He says, if I take an oath to the United Nations, well, then I'll serve the United Nations. But since I took an oath to be an American, how can you force me to be a United Nations citizen? Do you see what we're saying here?
A young man joined the service, thought he'd do his part. He loved his country under God, was true to his own heart. He knew he'd get an education, discipline, and growth. He had no hesitation when he gave his solemn oath. He gave a solemn oath. To my God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, these last three words ring true. I'm defending my country. My name is Michael New. My name is Michael New. In uniform across the sea, on soil in foreign lands, with dedication, honesty, keen eyes and steady hands, fulfilling every duty with patriotic love, until the day an order came from officers above. From his officers above. The color of the army is a military green, but the uniform they gave to him was like one he'd never seen. His shoulder bore a UN patch, a distinctive shade of blue. No oath to a charter, to my country I'll be true. To my country I'll be true. To my God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, these last three words ring true. I'm defending my country. My name is Michael New. Yes, my name is Michael New. On Tuesday morn, October 10th, inspection of the men. By Finland's General Engström, he had to look again. The traitorous eyes of officers stared down at Michael New. A single patch of green in an endless sea of blue. A single patch of green in an endless sea of blue. To my God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, that final word rings true. Yes, I'll defend my country. My name is Michael New. To our God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution we swear we will defend. Foreign or domestic, that final word rings true. Yes, we'll defend our country, just like Michael knew. America is watching, all eyes on Michael knew. You set a fine example. God bless you, Michael New.
The day I rest my weary bones, I'll go to sleep. But not The grave is bare. He rolled the stone. I look around another way and see much more than here today. I've traveled far to reach the grave. No more to weep, no more a slave. The Lord above, He watches o'er His scattered sheep to reach the door and open up forevermore the day these bones will lie no more. The day these bones will lie.
Buckskin Caillou. heart's been broken. All you do is cry. Think you'll never find another, and you're gonna die.
Are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. His trump will sound, his fire will flash, as lightning shines from so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Day who thought the earth was flat. I said, man, you must be crazy. Where the hell is your tinfoil hat? But he spoke with such conviction, and he believed the words he spoke. And something deep inside me knew this couldn't be a joke. But why would he believe this? And why believe such things? Because everybody knows the earth's a ball and that it spins. Well, you must be pretty crazy if you think the earth is flat. Cause we all know that it's a globe, and that's a simple fact. So I said, what about the photographs that NASA takes from space? He gave a knowing smile and told me, man, those things are fake. But what about the videos that I've seen with my two eyes? What about them? He replied, have you heard of CGI? Oh, NASA's faking everything that you have ever seen. And as for flying to the moon, well, they ain't never been. Indeed, my friend, their lying scum is there for you to see. Just take some time, look into it, and the truth will set you free. Well, I was kind of skeptical, but I have an open mind. And what he said was interesting, and I've got a little time. So I grabbed myself a doobie, and I started watching vids. Cause if NASA's really lying, then they're lying to my kids. And as I watched, I got angry as I learned of the deceit. The global Earth deception was right there at my feet. Well, holy shit, this could be true. What if we're not on a globe? The more I learned, the more I yearned, the more I started to probe. I upturned every rock of information I could find. I started to unlock the truth, the war upon my mind. I had 1,000 questions I just couldn't understand. I had to meet that man again, that flat earth man. Oh, NASA's faking everything that you have ever seen. And as for flying to the moon, well, they ain't never been. Indeed, my friend, their lying scum is there for you to see. Just take some time, look into it, and the truth will set you free. Well, I caught him up that evening, and he agreed to meet. He was very welcoming, and he showed me to my seat. He said, I see you've done some research, my open-minded friend. I know you'll have some questions, which we'll get to in the end. First, take a look at what's on these walls, paintings of a globe. I painted every single one of these, don't you know? You see, back in the day before computers, I was in demand. An artist painting everything I saw upon the land. Landscapes were my favorite, I was awfully good at those. Many people told me that they looked just like photos. And then one day I got a call from a real important dude. He asked me if I'd like a job and said the money's good. Well, what's the job? I asked him, then I'll wait for his reply. You'll be painting clothes for NASA, then he promptly said goodbye. Well, I was sworn to secrecy, I could not tell a soul that I just got myself a job with NASA painting globes. My work was published globally in every magazine to fool the people of where we live, a truly evil scheme. See, we don't live on a globe, he said. The earth is truly flat. I've been on the inside and I know that that's the fact. Oh, NASA's faking everything that you have ever seen. And as for flying to the moon, well, they ain't never been. Indeed, my friend, their lying scum is there for you to see. Just take some time, look into it, and the truth will set you free. Well, we talked until the sun came up and my mind was truly blown. This man had challenged everything that I thought I'd known. And finally it was clear to me to why these bastards lie. And finally it was clear to me about the reasons why. It's all about control, you know, to get inside your head. It's all about the money, too. They got an awful lot of bread. $50 million, man, what could you do with that? That's what NASA gets a day to hide the Earth is flat. You see, if they can get you to believe that you're on a spinning ball, well, things like God and creation just make no sense at all. It all exploded from nothing, right, with their theory of Big Bang. It's true satanic mind control from the Freemasonic gang. You see, it's only Freemasons that get to go to space. They're the evil bastards who are lying to your face. Yeah, NASA's pretty evil, man. The whole thing is such a fraud. The only reason they exist is to hide a loving God. Oh, NASA's faking everything that you have ever seen. And as for flying to the moon, well, they ain't never been. Indeed, my friend, their lying scum is there for you to see. Just take some time, look into it, and the truth will set you free. Yeah, NASA's pretty evil, man. They're a lying scumbag. Take some time, man. Look into it. I did. Now my mind is truly blown. The truth will set you free.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 22nd day of June, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Road Trip Report and Stay the Course. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to our Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. So again, it's pastordan.net. And we do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page where we put information, a lot of updates, current events, news items, health issues, and also the home page where you find information about helping us out with a donation if you feel so led. There is another page entitled Contact Us. If you do not have my personal contact information, you can reach us by using that. Before I go much further, Ella, I do not have the phone nearby, so anybody sending a text, yours truly, in being gone for a week, forgot to make sure that's handy. So I do not have that handy at the moment. So the email, though, bydpastordan@yahoo.com is working, so if you can use that to send me a note, I sure would appreciate it. We got a lot to cover. And again, it's just complete insanity out there. That's why I put the road trip report and stay the course, because so many things going on and so many people losing heart and having a difficult time dealing with all of this craziness, insanity, etc. I want to read Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8. Yahweh will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Yahweh will keep you, your going out and your coming in, from this time forward and forevermore. You know, it's interesting that I just got an email from a fellow that's on my list. I'd sent something out that was dealing with a topic that he had written about. And he wrote back to me, "You must be one of those fellows that follow this thing called identity." And then he proceeded to tell me how foolish I was because Yeshua HaMashiach never existed, and all the teachings about Yahweh and Yeshua are Jewish fables, and on he went. And it made me think, these poor souls, we've talked about this issue over the years quite a bit, these poor souls that don't live for anything, because think about it now, if the scriptures are false, and even if the scriptures are false, if you don't believe in a creator, if you don't believe that there's something higher than us, what a pitiful, pitiful existence you have. If you really think the epitome of creation is these two-legged creatures that walk this earth, shame on you. How can you think man is the epitome? How can you believe that everything you see around us is here by accident? And again, the computer, oh, thanks, Ella. Thank you very much. The song was picked by the computer. I did not pick that. So, Ray is the musician and singer of that song you were listening to at the beginning of the show here called Flat Earth. Again, some of you people have a hard time with that. That's your issue. But think about the lyrics in that song, and also think about this situation, and as Ella and other people have told me over the years, this is a crucial thing. Because if they can get you to believe a monstrous lie about the shape of the very world that we live in, then there's no limits to what they can do with you. So let that sink in. If you take the point of view of a Bolshevik communist Jew who wishes to rule the world, then coming up with the globe theory by Copernicus and taking large sums of money and making it available to him to do his writings and to get the powers that be at that time, including what would constitute the media, to push through the clergy, particularly the Roman Catholic Church, to push his points of view, you have created the situation that is the precursor to what we are facing now, which is unbridled lying and deception at all governmental agencies. And we're talking worldwide. So the organized churches are lying at an unprecedented rate. The world governments are lying to us at an unprecedented rate. And the media, all of the media, is lying to us at an unprecedented rate. So this was all done over a long period of time, centuries, but it starts with the same criteria that all deception does, and that is evil men, just as Scripture says, evil men conspire to accomplish something that is ill-conceived, and then they use their financial resources. This is where the world banking comes in. Then they use their resources to buy off officials, buy off church leaders, just like they're doing today, and get them to go along with the big lie. Okay? So, whether you personally want to accept it or not is inconsequential. The point is that this was used to deceive mankind. Because I know some good-hearted people that have a lot of faith. And so they'll say, well, it doesn't matter to me. But that's because they have the faith. Okay? I know people like that. They have a personal relationship with the Creator, so to them personally, the shape of the world is not that big of a deal. But what they don't understand is that we truthers, which Yahshua told us all to be, those of us who stand for the truth are trying to awaken all of our lost sheep, brothers and sisters. And that is a difficult job, even under the best of circumstances. But when you have a monstrous lie that you're on a spinning ball in the middle of a vast emptiness, it makes your job that much more difficult. Because the beginning of the relationship with our Creator Father is faith. Because if you don't believe He exists, how are you going to establish that relationship? I go back to my own childhood where I can verify this. Okay, I attended Methodist Church with my siblings and my mother. My father came once in a while. And my uncle and his family would be there, some of my cousins, a few of my classmates. But it started in the little church, but even before the church, it started in my home with my mother and my father, teaching me wisdom from Scripture. And as I got older, they would show me within Scripture where these little nuggets of wisdom were coming from. As my father used to say constantly, a man with convictions is a majority. Let that sink in. A man with conviction is a majority. Because the masses will try to tear you down as soon as you try to present something they don't like or are uncomfortable with. As soon as you challenge their comfort zone, they will attempt to get you to change your mind because it irritates them that you believe something different than they do. And so they will attempt to change you. This is why the Scripture and that old saying, the old saying says that a man with conviction is a majority. They can't beat it. Yahshua, when he walked this earth, was the perfect example. Okay? It didn't matter what power you had, how many of you there were, what your threats were, how much money you had. None of those things mattered. So if somebody wants to believe that Yahshua didn't exist, the principles of what Yahshua, as it is presented to us, should be the aspiration of all of our kinfolk. It cracks me up how many racialists want to destroy those of us with faith in this racial war of survival for the white race. They want to alienate us when the faith that we're talking about in Yahweh as Creator Father and Yahshua as His presence here on earth, these are things that support what the racialists are all talking about. And yet they want to throw it in the trash can and claim it is a Jewish creation. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Jews are imposters. Why would the Jews write a book that denounces Jews at Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, why would they put that in there where Yeshua denounced them as imposters? Would somebody please tell me? Christ himself had nothing good to say about Jews. Not once. And yet people think that the book is a Jewish book. Well, why did they put it in there that Yeshua was the antagonist of the Jews? Why wouldn't they just write a fairy tale that said Christ was all over these people and thought they were wonderful? Why did they have him executed if this is all made-up story? Why did Pontius Pilate talk about his meeting of Yeshua and send that letter, which is on file in the congressional record, by the way? There is mention of that letter to Tiberius Caesar. Why go through all that trouble? And here again, I'm going to read some quotes, but even our founding fathers said that a nation trying to exist without a moral code is a futile effort. Okay? So you can believe whatever you want. You can be an atheist if you want. But statistically, the most stable and successful nations and empires were those who practiced faith, such as the biblical teachings, when they are correctly translated, teach our kind. Because Yahweh created the white man and called him Adam, which means to show blood in the face. And again, if it's a Jewish book, why would it say that he created and called them his own, those that blush and show blood in the face? Because Ashkenazim don't do that. The few Jews with some Abrahamic blood mixed into them, they might blush a little bit, but it's only the pure white race that blushes. So, think about that a little bit. Why go through all that trouble? Why? Unless there's deception at work. Unless what we're talking about is the truth and they must hide it. Okay? I'm going to read an article here in a little bit that was online, sent to me earlier today. What patriotic Americans can do to resist the destruction of our constitutional republic. Actually, it should have said our Christian constitutional republic. And there are scores of books that have been written about the teachings of the Christian faith having a lot to do with the founding of this country, whether you want to believe it or not. But we'll read that here in a little bit. I want to read these quotes first and then some scriptures that I found. This is a gentleman by the name of Charles Caleb Colton. Physical courage, which despises all danger, will make a man brave in one way. And moral courage, which despises all opinion, will make a man brave in another. The former, meaning the man that despises all danger, the former would seem most necessary for the camp, talking about a military camp. The latter, which is a moral courage, for the council, in other words, the wisdom of a man of moral courage. Now, this is the punchline by Charles Caleb Colton. But to constitute a great man, both are necessary. Now, the founding fathers and the philosophers of the day often wrote like this. This is why the idea that it can be a secular society and be successful is ludicrous. George Washington makes a statement very similar to that as well. Okay? So he's saying a truly great man. And remember, we were only to allow great men to have political power in our country, to be part of our governing body, even as public servants, because you could not trust anybody less than that. Now you look at these miscreants and cretins that we have running this cacistocracy today, and you got to cry. This quote is by John Stuart Mill. Because the tyranny of opinion is such as to make eccentricity a reproach, it is desirable, in order to break through that tyranny, that people should be eccentric. Eccentricity has always abounded when and where strength of character has abounded. And the amount of eccentricity in a society has generally been proportional to the amount of genius, mental vigor, and moral courage it contained. Now, the vocabulary and sentence structure is from a different era, okay? Because our people have truly been dumbed down through the public school system, so they might not follow that. But basically, John Stuart Mill is saying there are two kinds of courage. One is in the face of the tyranny of opinion, okay? And what he's saying here is people are eccentric. We're considered eccentric. You and I would be considered eccentric, meaning outside the norm. We behave differently than what they expect. So what he is saying here is eccentricity has always abounded when and where the strength of character has abounded. And generally, it's proportional, the amount of eccentricity, meaning those of us willing to think outside the box, is proportional to the amount of genius, mental vigor, and moral courage, because you have to be able to withstand the assault of the unwashed masses against you. George Washington, in 1796, apparently, said this: "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." Now, again, the education level of the average person in the colonies and what became the United States of America was quite a bit higher back in the day that was written. So it would be difficult for some people to figure out what he was trying to say. He's saying right here, if you're going to indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without a religiosity, a structure of belief, is basically what he's saying, much in contradiction to what the racialists are trying to say. He goes, whatever may be conceded to the influence of a good education on the minds of peculiar structure, reason, and experience, we are forbidden to expect that the national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. So once again, as I've read in many articles over the years, people have made the statement that even if Yahweh, God, the Creator Father, whatever you choose to use, even if he did not exist, my belief in him makes me a better person. That's basically what that's saying. My structuring of my personal habits and my moral code based on my belief in this Creator Father and His rules for us makes me a better person, even if they didn't exist. Let that sink in. Fisher Ames, in 1801, which was a few years later than what we read about George Washington, despair not only hastens the evil, but renders any remedy unavailing. So think about that again. Despair, depression, forlorn, dark clouds, negativity, despair not only hastens the evil, okay, so basically if we give in to our despair, we're going to hasten what's coming, but renders any remedy unavailing. Time that soothes all other sufferings will bring no relief to us if we neglect or throw away the means in our hands. What are they? Truth and argument. And we're not talking about the contentious kind of arguing. We're talking about basically debate. Truth and argument. They are feeble means, feeble indeed, against prejudice and passion. Yet, they are all we have, and we must try them. They will be the jury masts if we are shipwrecked. Wise words by Mr. Ames. Truth and argument. George Washington made this quote, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." So even as a servant, meaning in your fireplace, in your pot-bellied stove, it has the potential to be dangerous in that it can burn you or burn your house down. So dangerous servant and a fearful master. When government goes from public servant to being your master, it goes from being dangerous to downright fearful. Again, let that sink in. Lord Acton said, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." You get that? Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You're living that particular quote in this country today. All right. Now, the article, "What Patriotic Americans Can Do to Resist the Destruction of Our Constitutional Republic." This is written by Lawrence Sellin, and it's located at the Gateway Pundit. If you want to take it, check it out. And again, I do apologize if occasionally when I hesitate and there's some pausing, etc., in what I'm trying to get across to you. It's because I've got three panels, three screens that I'm monitoring everything going on. And because of the different glitches that the software does once in a while, I'm not free to just totally abandon what the screens are telling me. I have to constantly monitor them that everything is working the way it's supposed to. So forgive me again for that. It's not very professional, but I can't take my eyes and my mind off of the other things that are going on while doing a live broadcast. So here's what the article says. Now, the reason I picked this article is because as I read down through it, it was like these people have been listening to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast. See if you can figure out where they talk about the same principles, same conclusions that you and I have talked about on these programs for quite some time. first recognize that the United States is not a functioning constitutional republic, but a government being deliberately transformed into a one-party totalitarian state. The federal government as an institution is hopelessly corrupt. And although we have elections, we do not have a representative government. It cannot be reformed. It can only be ripped out and replaced. Do not expect any top-down solution for America's problems to miraculously emerge from Washington, D.C. The U.S. government has seceded from the people. Most members of Congress act more like foreign occupiers than executors of the views and needs of their constituents. Angelo Cordovilla noted that the United States already has a bona fide ruling class, which transcends government, a political aristocracy that sees itself as distinct from the rest of society, and as the only element that may act on its behalf. The ruling class considers those who resist it as having no moral or intellectual right, and now any civil right as well. Republican Party leaders neither contest that view nor vilify their Democrat counterparts because they do not want to challenge the ruling class. They want to be part of it. The Republican leadership has solidified its choice to no longer represent what had been its constituency, but to adopt the identity of junior partners in the ruling class. By repeatedly passing bills that contradict the views of its voters, the Republican Party has made political orphans of tens of millions of Americans. The only remaining course of action for patriotic America and Americans who want to restore our constitutional republic is a bottom-up political insurgency based on the Constitution and the founding documents. Foremost among them are the Second and Tenth Amendments. The Second Amendment, quote, "the right of the people to keep and bear arms," is now the only obstacle standing between freedom and the absolute tyranny the federal government now wishes to impose. Buy firearms and lots of ammunition. Identify constitutional sheriffs or law enforcement officers in your community and coordinate with them to form a, quote, "well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state." That is, a militia capable of being deputized to fight against not just criminality, but incursions by a tyrannical government. Above all others, preserving the Second Amendment is the hill to die on. The Second Amendment is not just the basis for the right of self-defense, but it is also the defense against tyranny and the guarantor of all other rights as the Founding Fathers recognized. And then he has a quote of Thomas Jefferson, "The laws that forbid the carrying of arms are laws of such a nature. They disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man." Again, Thomas Jefferson in the Commonplace book. He also said, "To disarm the people is the most effective way to enslave them." The Tenth Amendment states, "The powers not delegated to the United States, meaning the government, by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people themselves. Refuse to comply with and actively resist unlawful and unconstitutional edicts from the federal government. Remove and replace any local official acting contrary to the interests of the people. Take control of the local government, prosecutors, and school boards. Coordinate your activities with other similarly acting communities in your region. Create Democrat Party and Establishment Republican free zones. Give Democrats a taste of their own medicine. As much as local law will permit, arrest and prosecute or organize civil lawsuits against individuals or organizations engaged in the destruction of our constitutional republic. Identify by name, address, and photograph all illegal aliens in your community, which will facilitate their later deportation. Challenge all local employers who hire illegal aliens and any non-governmental organization facilitating the transport or support of illegal aliens in your community. Launch lawsuits when appropriate. Strictly enforce equal opportunity. Expose and eliminate programs promoting grooming and sexualization of children, critical race theory, and all similar forms of anti-American indoctrination. Immediately state out loud and often that Joe Biden is not a legitimate president of the United States, but a usurper who was installed in office through an election stolen by organized voter fraud. Until the November 2020 election is satisfactorily addressed, there can be no election integrity, and the United States will remain a banana, but not a constitutional republic. Admittedly, my list of actions by patriotic Americans to restore our republic is not exhaustive. Add your own ideas in the comments section below. And again, this is by Lawrence Sellen, who is a PhD and a retired United States Army Reserve Colonel and a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq. All right. And he had a civilian career in international business and medical research. And he authored a book, apparently, Restoring the Republic, Arguments for a Second American Revolution. So, again, that's that can be found over at the Gateway Pundit. And again, a lot of common sense. Ella's got a good point here. She said, never allow a constitutional convention, which they sometimes refer to as a con-con. And what it will do is they will gut and decimate the Constitution, and we'll end up with a document that legitimatizes what they've already been doing. So, but we have to come to the point where this is a moral collapse of our country. This is not strictly a election fraud thing or whatever. We have become immoral people. You cannot engage in a moral revolution if the people themselves are immoral. Think about that, okay? You cannot do that. So the answer, obviously, is that the people have to repent, which we've talked about often enough, and they have to seek the Father's face, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 clearly states, that He will hear from heaven and His Spirit will energize our Ezekiel 37 righteous army, because that's what we need. Okay, we need the Ezekiel 37 vast and mighty army to awaken and rise up. We the people are the many. these oligarchs and these satanic Kabbalists are few, very few in number. Now, they control our, quote, governments by use of terror and bribery. However, that only works if you're of the mental or in the mental state where you believe government is God. Now you know why they want to destroy your faith. And this is also why I do not understand why the racialist groups, like skinheads and various other groups, why they want to destroy the faith of our people by claiming it is all a Jewish thing. Go back to our ancestors. They're constantly talking about the Vikings and the white race in antiquity when they traveled as the Goths and Visigoths and Scythians and all that. And yet, those people, especially the Parthians and some of the other areas around there, in ancient times, they practiced the Old Testament law. That was the law of their government. Much as King Alfred in England established Old Testament law. See, it goes back, it's part of our people. They want to throw away that part of our history. Okay? But many of our people, when they did not have Yahweh's laws, they created white men's gods. So when they traveled and they did not have the priests and the scrolls of our, what we call our Torah or our law, they created them. They created the Thor and Odin and all these things, which mimicked a lot of what was taught in the scrolls about our Heavenly Father and the things that He wished for. Because correctly interpreted, the scriptures tell us that we are to be brave. We're to be warriors. We're to be trained in the ways of war and weapons of war. It is the modern-day lukewarm apostate church, organized religion, that is trying to decimate our people with this fake Christianity. And so many of these racialists can't see through this. It's a shame. We're alienating ourselves for a nonsensical reason. Okay? So the racialists want to believe that our ancestors praying to Odin and Thor and all these other demigods, that was okay, but if you and I pray to Yahweh, who teaches the same things, and we stand against the organized Christianity today, which we call churchianity, they're hypocrites. Okay, it's okay for our ancestors to worship gods by other names, but if we use the ones of today, then somehow we're allowing Jewish influence. No, the Jews hijacked the Hebrew history of our people and the scriptures. And they did it by simply adopting a facsimile of names and behaviors, and then they used their word magic, which is sorcery and bribery, to get the seminaries and the church world to proclaim them the people of the Bible. And yet, even when I was a boy, so we're only going back 50-some years, when I was a boy, in the circles of my elders, they talked openly about the fact that the Jews were not our people. And that they could not be trusted, and you must be very careful around them. So, even in the Protestant circles that I grew up in, it was a common knowledge thing that Jews were not to be trusted. And nobody at that time called them God's chosen people. So, it's been in less than 55 to 60 years that they've been able to pull this off, and partly because of the advancement of technology so that they could get into your home 24 hours a day through television, radio, print media, okay? Those are relatively modern things. Years and years and years ago, that just did not happen. Even in the little farmhouse I grew up, there was a newspaper delivered, and that's where most of the news was got because everybody was busy working every day. They didn't sit in front of a flat screen. Of course, back then they were curved with a CRT and the television set, but that television set was off most of the time. Okay? Elka says most states have more than one constitution. Now, that's news to me. I'll have to look that up, but I did not, I was not aware of that. So, that, again, you have to be careful and look it up. But the states that I have looked up their constitutions, they're much more specific about our rights, and it's much clearer, especially about the Second Amendment. It is much clearer that the Second Amendment had nothing to do with self-defense or hunting. It had everything to do that we, the people, could rise up and defend ourselves against a tyranny within government. Now, they don't want you to realize that, but that's what it was all about. So, again, we, you know, there's a lot of things going on. We don't need division in the camp. We need cohesiveness. We need unity. Many years ago, an acronym I came up with for unity. Let's see, Ella says here, taking the feast of Yahweh as Jewish. Yeah, this whole Jewish nonsensical thing that they created all this is just ludicrous. But anyway, this acronym, because so many of the identity people when I first came to the message were constantly asking me, what can we do to unify our people? So I had UNITY, unity, stood for the United Nation of Jacob Israel, or United Nation of Israel, under the theocracy, which is the T, of Yahweh, which is the Y. So, U was united, N was nation of Israel, that's the I, T was theocracy, Y was Yahweh. There's your unity. When, and you got to remember, the word nation refers to a race of people. It has nothing to do with borders and, quote, a country. It's got to do with a race. So the united white race, called a nation, of Jacob Israel will happen when we come together and realize that we're all kinfolk, no matter whether we speak French, Spanish, Italian, Swedish, Finnish, Dutch, Afrikaans, whatever, doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter where we live, doesn't matter what language, we're all part of that Caucasian race. And when we come together under his law, I was thinking of it today. Somebody had sent out an analogy of a lot of the problems we're having today have to do with tax laws. And they listed all of these different Supreme Court decisions and U.S. Code this and everything else. And it made me think, this is what's wrong when you let men play God. Hold on a second. When you let men play God, they create a system of law, as Frederick Bastiat talked about in his book called The Law. Corrupt evil men will figure out how to use the law to plunder the wealth of the average person, and then they will develop a legal system, a court system, to basically legitimatize their theft. And eventually they'll even come up with a moral code called the modern day Christian church that makes it moral for them to steal. This is why they encourage the seminaries to teach the preachers to preach Romans 13, that we are to obey the authorities no matter what kind of scoundrels and thieves they are. Well, that's not true. We're supposed to take the sons of bitches out and hang them. That's the truth. But they have developed a legal system and a moral system that gives legitimacy when the liars are in the pulpit and the liars are in front of the TV cameras telling you, and are also the professors and teachers in our school system telling you and me that we owe our allegiance to these pieces of shit called politicians and government agencies. No, we don't. We owe allegiance to each other. We owe allegiance to our Heavenly Father. We certainly don't owe it to a bunch of thieves and murderers pretending to be our government officials. Part of the reason for the road trip report was the fact that the highways are just clogged with cars, unbelievable numbers of cars. We are outdistancing our infrastructure at every level. But we're also mentally incapacitated to realize the kind of trouble that we've got. For some reason, we just can't seem to mentally wrap our head around the fact that things are not right. You can't allow these invaders into your land in these kind of numbers. And I'm not talking about just the United States. I'm talking about every Western Caucasian nation. Our people are dumber than rocks. And they're lukewarm about their convictions. And they are cowards. I hate to say it, but the vast majority are cowards. And we're getting walked on. We're getting walked all over. We've become doormats. We've become, I don't want to use the vernacular term, but it starts with a P and ends with a Y, and that's what we've become. We are not the men, the lions, the warriors that our Father expects us to be. Not even close. The powers that should not be want us dead. More and more reports are coming out that to them, these smug assholes with all these billions of dollars at their disposal are sitting around in their little circles just like these automatons and miscreants in Washington and places like that. They're wringing their hands because they think they're on the inside and you and I are going to be the useless eaters that will be exterminated. Trust me, and that part is true. They want us exterminated. They have no use for us anymore. Okay? They've got machines, robotics, artificial intelligence that can do a lot of the menial jobs that people had to do in times gone by. And so they don't need all of this humanity clogging up the roads and using up the resources and all. And they are not sure that they can keep us under control. And so they do want to get rid of us. As we see things becoming this chaotic, it also reinforces the teachings of the Founding Fathers, again, based on scriptural information, as in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that says that your government is supposed to be made up of your own kin folk, particularly your elder men, men who've been around the block a few times, know how the world works, men who have their hormones are much more stable and they're more likely to be calm and cool and collected and make wise decisions and not allowing their hormones to get involved. Okay, that's the intention of the Founding Fathers. That was the intention of the creators of our scripture under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, through those scriptures, and our forefathers through history, taught that that's how you make a stable country, form a government. Has to be the best of your people, the statesman, so to speak. And it has to be limited. And I was talking earlier about the rules and the fact that they quote so many laws. Our founding fathers, and scripture also teaches, when laws increase, abuse increases, corruption increases. The fact that these assholes create volumes and volumes of bills and legislation and statutes and things such as that. That is a sign that they are corrupt. Every successful kingdom, empire, nation operates on a few simple rules. Even the Bible talks about that. The Bible covers every aspect of society, and it does so with, I think, approximately 750 regulations. That's it. Just 750 different regulations. It covers everything. Personal hygiene, sanitary conditions, how you conduct warfare, marriage, divorce, separation of inheritance. Everything is covered in one book with only about 750 items. And yet we have millions of pieces of legislation at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level. That's because we have allowed man to become God. And their first duty is to stay in power and to keep you buffaloed that what they're doing is okay. They just generate reams of legislation that nobody in his right mind would ever even try to comprehend. Just would take you forever. And so they can hide things in there. They can skew the interpretation of things. And that's what creates the corruption and the chaos. So in the meantime, they get away literally with murder and sending your children off to wars to be murdered and injecting you with experimental substances, another form of murder. They get away with it. And all of their buddies get away with it. And the banking institution gets away with ripping us off and raping us. The IRS gets away with raping the citizenry. Okay? They shouldn't even exist. The other thing I would take away from what I'm seeing right now is, and I'm in total agreement with that, never, ever back up. Never surrender, never give in. And never allow them to disarm you. Because, once again, I'll remind you, Alexander Solzhenitsyn lived through the Russian Jewish Bolshevik overthrow of the Christian empire known as Tsarist Russia. That was a Jewish communist Bolshevik overthrow of a Christian empire. And that's their intention to do it again, only this time worldwide. And again, I feel sorry for the poor souls out there that believe you can get through this sick world and be an atheist, be an agnostic, be a doubter about our Heavenly Father and the fact that He is Creator overall. My faith has never hindered me in any way, shape, or form. People say, well, no, it turns us into pussies. It turns us into cucks and doormats. No, it doesn't. That's because you're listening to that pusillanimous preacher down at your local church who's telling you lies. That's not Yahweh's fault or my fault or anybody that knows the truth's fault. That's your fault. You go down there, you sit in a pew, every molecule within your body should be telling you the same thing that my body told me over the years. These people are lying to me. They can't answer the difficult questions. When I ponder the things going on in the world around me, what they're telling me doesn't make sense. These are the things that you should have come into your mind, folks, and all these other people. I don't blame them for hating mainstream Christianity and claiming it is the downfall of the white race, because that part is true. It is being used to take us down. But that doesn't excuse you to throw out our morality in the Creator and in the Arian Christ, because He was an Arian. who said, I came for my brethren, the lost sheep. We are the lost sheep. We're the only people ever referred to as lost sheep. Why would you throw that out? I don't understand. And as we read that article, I hope you picked out how many times they talked about things over the past 5 years you and I have talked about here on this show. And when I interviewed that fellow that lives, at that time he lived in the panhandle of Florida, Chuck, we talked about his deputism plan, which he had gotten from somebody out in the West. I can't remember the name. But we talked about the deputism plan was needed. Now, Chuck was off by a few years. He wanted it right then and there. But it's definitely needed now. There's no doubt about it. So many of the things that we talk about here, both about scripture, about secular activities, things such as that it is permeating out there, and I hope everybody understands that. These are core issues that we discuss here. And we discuss it, what I think, from the best point of view, which is a intelligent point of view, but it's also within the box of our moral code that was given to us through our ancestors. The prophets were our people, not Jews. Please. How could anybody think that? How could anybody think that a bunch of Jews could come up with the wisdom that's in Proverbs and Psalms? Again, when it is properly translated. They follow a book called the Talmud, and if you read through the Talmud, it gives you an idea of their mentality. They could not have come up with it. So let that sink in. We need to come together and look out for each other. We need unity amongst our people. We need to be clear thinkers. We do not need to panic. We do not need to fall into the traps being laid by our enemies. We need to stay the course, stay true to each other, stay true to our Father above, and stay true to our beliefs, which are grounded in not only our faith, but actual experiences, daily experiences and miracles that happen in our life that can only be explained by the spiritual aspect of our faith and the Holy Spirit working within our lives. And again, I'll allude to the time that I was awakened at the early morning hours, somewhere around 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Long story short, I called my brother because I was being told through the Spirit to call my brother at that weird hour. And long story short, that phone call ended up in him going to the hospital and saving his life. And I've used that particular incident in my life to ask the atheists and agnostics over the years, unless you think I'm lying, then you explain to me what woke me up from a dead sleep that night. Because I never, back in those days, I was in my 30s, and when my head hit the pillow, it didn't come out of that pillow until time to go to work the next morning. That was my standard night. So out of a dead sleep, I got woke up and told to call my brother. It ends up saving his life. How did that happen? In the world of you agnostics, you atheists, we're all just a matter of evolution. There is no spirituality. Man is just an animal. Really? You think so, huh? I haven't had anybody explain it yet. In fact, most of the time when I ask somebody to give me a secular rendition of how you think that might would happen, they're perplexed and they cannot answer. Something to think about. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity once again to reach out to our folks. I personally apologize for any glitches and missteps in the broadcast and ask for everybody's indulgence and forgiveness for that. We're trying to do our best, Father, to wake our people up and to give them reasons for encouragement and not to be forlorn and depressed. We know that these are perilous times, and we're watching the world basically go up in flames. They are destroying every commonsensical thing that was ever established. They're destroying all scriptural basis for things. They're destroying the family. They're destroying the genders. They're destroying relationships. And it's all for evil intent. We know that. But we're praying that your spirit, which you promised you would do, will go out across this world, and it will awaken that vast and mighty army, and that men will take up arms in the cause of righteousness, and we will take these people and do with them as you told us to do within Scripture. And the judgment written will be pronounced upon them, and they will be executed according to your law. And this poor world will breathe a sigh of relief, and the people inhabiting this world will breathe a sigh of relief, where a man will keep his own earnings to spend as he sees fit and not some bureaucracy. Criminals will be punished according to your law. Inventions will be protected by the intellectual property rights of the inventor and not some Jewish corporation and gang of Jewish lawyers stealing inventions and ideas from the rightful owners. There's a lot to be fixed, but the good news is it's all fixable, and it's all easily fixable. It just takes people with conviction to accomplish it. So convict us in our spirit, Father Yahweh. Forgive us our sins, wash us anew in the blood of the Lamb, that we might see clearly, have good discernment, that we would reach out with compassion to our brothers and sisters, and we would get righteous indignation burning within us to set this world right. We pray for your coming to be soon, the establishment of the kingdom to also be soon, and the taking down of this Babylonian hellhole, that it also would be soon. Forgive us our sins, guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.
It'll go down in history as a terrible day when those Oklahoma bombs blew the building away. 169 people died while the media lashed out and the government lied. Seems the press and the FBI, they stirred it all up when they blamed it on Iraqis and a brown pickup truck. But before they were through with their agenda that night, they were blaming anybody who might lean to the right. They blame those far-right, wild-eyed, anti-federal activists, those mean extreme right-wing domestic terrorists, those hate-filled, ill-willed, demon white supremacists. That's the enemy. But it sounds kind of strange to me. As they whipped up the witch and for a second John Doe, I heard President Clinton blasting talk radio. Seems he wants me to turn in anybody I meet who might listen to Chuck Carter as they drive down the street. Cause they're a far-right, wild-eyed, anti-federal activist, a genuine borderline neo-Nazi racialist, Mossad jihad, Christian fundamentalist. That's the enemy.
So extreme.
Which means it could be you or me. Now there's so many questions that just won't go away, like why the ATF didn't show for work on that day. When asked by a lady why they didn't show up, they said, if I were you, ma'am, I'd keep my mouth shut. And blame those far-right, wild-eyed, anti-federal activists, those paranoid, Sigmund Freud, schizoid isolationists. We like scapegoats, Christian fundamentalists. They're the enemy.
Now if you're still a member of the NRA,
then you best be very careful of the words that you say. You still can call your M14 a hunting gun, but don't ever call a federal cop a jackbooted thug. If you're a far-right, wildlife, anti-federal activist, a mean extreme right-wing domestic terrorist, a hate-filled, ill-will, demon white supremacist, a Mossad jihad, Christian fundamentalist, a genuine borderline, neo-Nazi racialist, a brainwashed, camouflaged, crazy Christian patriot, a paranoid, signal-void, schizoid isolationist, a homophobe, xenophobe,
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, that I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Bought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory. Some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory.
sail them homeward to think again. The hills are bare now, and autumn leaves lie thick and still. Those someday beheld and stood against him. Proud Edward's army and sent him forward to think again.
Now and in the past they know. that is